I want to continue with the subject of knowing what's in you, knowing what's inside of you. Now, folks, that is important. That is very, very important. We need to know what's inside of us. We need to know who's inside of us and what he has given us. Amen. You know, you cannot be a mechanic, or you can't do the job of a mechanic if you don't have tools to work with. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Amen. You cannot be a mechanic if you don't have tools to work with. You must have the necessary tools to get the job done. Guess what? Excuse me. God has given you and me the necessary tools that we need to work with. Now, let's go back to the mechanic for a minute. Let's say an automobile mechanic. We'll go there. Let's say you're having problems with a vehicle, all right? And you got a toolbox. And in that toolbox, you got wrenches, screwdrivers, you got all type of testing equipment, meters, and everything that can tell you everything that you need to know about that vehicle. But this vehicle is not operating properly. And so what you do, you go out and you raise your hood, you roll your toolbox out with you, and you raise the hood of the vehicle, and then you just stand there and look at it. You never open up your toolbox. You never grab a test meter. You don't do anything but look at it and say, you know what, I sure wish this thing would run. I really wish I could get this car started. But I guess I just have to sit here. Well, that's the way we act sometimes when it comes to what God has given us. We sit back and with wishful thinking, Lord, I wish this would happen, and I wish that would happen, and oh, Lord, you know, I just don't know what to do. Well, first of all, you got to understand that you have a toolbox. Now, here's something else I need to say too. You need to know how to use your tools.
Amen.
You need to know how to use your tools. Praise God. One of the things I did when I was in the Air Force in my spare time, and it related to the work that I had to do. You know, I was a mechanic, but it wasn't an automobile mechanic. I wasn't an automobile mechanic, but I worked on the equipment that kept the airplanes in the air. And it was a lot of different types of equipment that I had to help keep going so that they could start the aircraft, so that they could fuel the aircraft, provide electrical power to the aircraft when needed, and I could go on and on and on. And so I had to help keep that equipment operating properly and keep it serviced as well. And that was part of my job. And so because of my job in the Air Force, I became interested in keeping my car going, you know, because certain principles that I learned in the Air Force, I could just carry that right over to my personal vehicles. So I learned a lot about how to keep my automobile running. And then Kathy and I was newly married. And so you remember that I decided to take me a course at Wayne Community College in North Carolina. And so I took an automotive class at Wayne Community College, thoroughly enjoyed it. I learned a lot. And then when I got out of the service, guess what? I still had that knowledge. And so for a long time, I kept my automobiles running. Man, you know, if it broke down, you know, and we didn't have a whole lot of money. So you know, thank God for the knowledge that I had. And so, you know, I would get under it and fix it. Of course, I have to admit now that that technology is so far advanced, way beyond me. So I don't even try to touch an engine anymore. Glory to God. But my point is, what I was about to say is, I bought some tools.
Amen.
I bought some tools, and I was able to keep my own vehicles running. And so let me get back to my subject here. God has given us some tools, and he placed them on the inside of us. And so we need to know what they are, and then we need to know how to use them. Now, I shared with you last week something that, excuse me, I want you to always remember. Always remember this, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? You hear me? Our bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and he is the one that dwells on the inside of us. He's the one that operates on the inside of us. And we won't read them again today, but you'll find these scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you want to write that down, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, and 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, will let you know that that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. And I read this to you last week, and I want to read it to you again. It says, as we receive the word of God and obey it, these qualities will manifest in our lives. What God has put on the inside of us will manifest itself in our lives. In other words, it will begin to work in us. I like what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. If you're on the screen up there, give me Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. If you can do it quickly. If not, then I'll go ahead and turn over there. Amen, and I'm on my way anyway. Oh, okay, they beat me to it. I need the New King James Version, please. Hallelujah. All right. And Paul was talking, you can read the whole chapter, but Paul was talking about his ministry and so forth. But I like what he says here in the 29th verse. He says, to this end, I also labor. Now, grab a hold of what he's saying. He said, to this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works where?
In me.
Yeah, it works where?
In me.
It works in me mightily. It works in me mightily. Keep that before your eyes. That what the Apostle Paul was saying, and he was talking about his ministry and soul winning and preaching of the gospel and all of that. But he was saying, God is working in me mightily. Hallelujah. God has placed some things on the inside of us. Glory to God. Now, I won't go over there today, at least I don't think I am, but we last week and week before, I think, we went over to 2 Peter chapter 4. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. And so you can write that down if you wasn't here, where he talks about what we have on the inside of us. But in the meantime, I want to go back to the book of Galatians, because this is so important. This is so important. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, once again, I'm just going to begin reading at verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, why in the world do you think that's in the Word of God? It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Matter of fact, there's a 9 fruit of the Spirit. Now, if you go over to, you don't have to go there, but if you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And folk get excited about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there's not a thing wrong with being excited about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm excited about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want God to use me. I want to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All of us, you hear me? All of us should want to flow through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, should want God to use us in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit, let me say it this way. The gifts can be abused. If you don't have, let me say it this way. If your heart's not right, if your motives are not right, I find it very interesting that the next chapter over, you have the 12th chapter where the Word of God talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and then goes on to talk about some ministry offices and administrations, all of that. We won't go into that. But you know what? The very next chapter, which is chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, and I'm just mentioning it. We're not going over there. But guess what? It talks about love, doesn't it? If I speak in the tongues of men and angels and have not love, guess what? You're just making a bunch of noise. That's kind of condensing things. You're just making a bunch of noise. But we have to understand that there's something that God has given us on the inside that's supposed to control what we do on the outside. Now, understand something. I need to say this before I move on, that the gifts of the Spirit, we should desire gifts of the Spirit. Can I get an amen? Amen. The Word of God tells us to desire spiritual gifts. But the gifts of the Spirit operate as He will. As He will. So we are not to abuse them and try to use them for selfish gain or to hurt someone else. And I've been around a long time. It's, you know, from 1969 to 2021, that's a long time. But I've been saved that long. And I've seen a lot, I've heard a lot, I've experienced a lot. I've seen a true, mighty move of God. And then on the other hand, I've seen abuses using the things of God to abuse people or to manipulate people. That's wrong. Hallelujah. Praise God. And a lot of times it had to do with money. I like what Brother Tony said earlier. We should give. We should pay our tithe. Give God our tithe and our offerings and have a giving heart. We should do that. But in my 35 years plus of pastoring this church, I have never twisted anybody's arm to give. I've never tried to use any gimmicks to get you to give or to trick you into giving. Some of you have been with me from day one. Am I telling the truth? Now, we've been in some meetings together where that's happened. Yeah. We've been in some meetings where that's happened. But I made up my mind. Let me tell you something. I am going to move on. But let me tell you something. God called me, and I know that I know that I know that I know God called me. God called me to this ministry. So I don't have to use gimmicks or tricks to get you to give. My job is to tell you what the Word of God says. My job is to tell you what the Bible says about giving. And your job is to be sensitive to the Word of God and obedient to the Word of God. Is there an amen or two out here? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because there is a principle, a biblical principle, called seed time and harvest. Oh, by the way, it applies to more than just money, too. But there's a biblical principle of seed time and harvest. People need to know that. Thank God I learned that. Kathy and I learned that. And we were like you guys were. We ain't have nothing left. But we gave God our tithe. We gave God our tithe. And I'm not preaching on tithing, but I am going to say this. Like I told you, I may finish, I may not. But I remember when two of us were between churches. We were between churches. Just because I didn't exactly know what God was telling us at the time was not an excuse not to give God our tithe. So every paycheck, we took the tithe out, didn't we? Every paycheck, we took the tithe out because that's God's money. You hear me? That's God's money. And for a while, I didn't know where to give it. I had no idea. Lord, I don't know where to give this. But you know what we did? I just put it back. We put it back. Now you have to understand, in those times was tough back there then. And it practically every day had a bill to be paid or there was a need and the devil would remind me. You know, you got that tithe, and we had to do like Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And it wasn't long before we knew where to give our tithe, and ever since. The two of us been married. We've been married a long time, going on 49 years. You hear me? Going on 49 years. But all 48 plus years, we have given God our tithe. I'm not bragging, I'm just telling the truth. And our giving wasn't based on what we had or didn't have. It was based on what God said in his word. And so when I started pastoring this church or anywhere I preached, I didn't beg people and still not going to. I'm going to say this again. You've heard me say it before. Now, I'm not being critical. I can't afford to be critical of anybody. Okay? Not being critical. I'm not being critical of any other ministry. I just did what God told me to do. And God put it in my heart not to sell one chicken dinner, chicken plate, not to sell one fish plate, not to sell one hot dog to bring income into this ministry. We still got our first fish plate, and that'll never happen. Now, we've purchased fish plates from others and blessed them. You have to understand, you know, I say this with a right heart. You know, I'm not criticizing anybody else. I'm just doing what God told us to do. So we're not selling anything. This ministry was started by faith, by the direction of the Holy Spirit. I remember one time, early one Sunday morning, I got up, and the ministry was young, and I'm praying and talking to the Lord, and I told the Lord, Lord, I was out on the road by myself just walking. Lord, I don't have the slightest idea what to tell those people later on today. My mind is blank, Lord. I don't know. What do you want? Aren't you glad he speaks to you?
Yeah.
You know what? But sometimes you expect God to get real deep with you, and so you can get some great revelation that maybe you can share with the congregation. The Lord spoke to me earlier today, and this is what he said. It was none of that. Sometimes we can try to be so deep that we miss what God is saying.
Amen.
The simple things that God is saying. You know what he told me? Just preach the word. I thought, oh, okay. Just preach the word. Amen. Just if you, you know, in other words, you know, sometimes you want something a little bit deeper. You know, you want to see, you know, in your service, man, the folks that's been slain in the spirit all over the place. You want legs to grow out, ears to grow on, eyes to come back, you know. I think we all want that. We want to see God move in a mighty way. I still do. I want to see God move in a mighty way. But you know what? We got to preach the word. We got to preach the word. Got to preach the word. Hallelujah. And Galatians 5, beginning at verse 22, is the word of God. See, here's the thing. God is equipping us to serve. And in order to do that, are you listening to me? You got to learn to draw on who's on the inside of you. See, that's the beauty of being born again. When we were born again, the Holy Spirit comes in and he takes up residence on the inside of us. That's reading with it, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He takes up residence on the inside of us. But like I told you last week, he is the perfect spirit. There is nothing lacking in him.
Amen.
So when he came into our lives, he brought in everything that we would need. But what we've got to do is use it. Let it manifest in our lives. And one and the number one thing I believe that's on God's heart for us as believers is love. Love one another. Because that's who God really is. He is love. For God so loved the world that he gave. God is love. And that's the one, and I've said this before, but I'm saying it again. And that's one thing that even believers struggle with, simply because folks are not like them. Folk don't talk like them. They don't look like them. They don't act like them. They're not the same height as they are. They have a different hair color. They don't like the same things we like. And so because of these things, we can't love them because they different. I wonder how many people, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Greek word bema, when we stand before him, and Jesus, and you know, we're saved now. You know, if you're standing before Christ at judgment seat of Christ, you're saved. Amen. You're with the Lord for eternity. But he tests our love walk by fire. And our love walk burns to ashes. What's important to God should be important to us. Amen. What the Bible put a lot of emphasis on, we need to put a lot of emphasis on. Hallelujah. Because the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. Now I know it sounds like I'm repeating myself every week, but This thing is so important. Y'all still with me? This is so important, and we need to work on that. Jesus Christ is coming back very soon. The hand shouldn't say to the foot, "I don't need you." The eyes shouldn't say to the mouth, "I don't need you. You're not even shaped like me. After all, you can't even see like I do. You can't even see. I'm more spiritual than you, mouth. I can see things. You can't." And then the mouth says, "Oh, shut up. I can taste things. You can't." But that's not unity. That's not love. But that's the way we act sometimes. Is there another amen out here somewhere? God wants his body to come together with the right motive. And the motive is, I love you unconditionally. I love you. Amen. I like chocolate cake. You like coconut, but we can still get along. Amen. This is Miss Chocolate Cake right here. With them 15, 18, 20 layer cakes. Yeah. Now I'm gonna quit because she's trying to force me to throw hints now, and I'm not gonna do that. Amen. Y'all still with me? But Pastor, it's hard for me to love him. It's hard for me to love her. That's the reason you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He's going to help you do it. Because he's going to, listen, he's going to love through you. You know what? You see this body here? This body is a vessel that God used. And God wants to use this vessel to love somebody else, to show his love. Y'all with me? To show his love. Amen. And to show his joy. How many times And maybe you've experienced this. Maybe you was having a bad day, or your day weren't going real well, but you met somebody with the joy of the Lord and just changed your whole day.
Yes.
Just changed your whole day. Talked about it last week. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Do you know God has joy?
Yes.
Can you imagine our Lord Jesus seated on the right hand of God the Father? He look over at the Father and say, "Father, look at that crowd down there. Came to earth, went to earth, suffered for them, died for them, took their hell for them, and now look how they're acting. Father, I'm just depressed. I just don't know what I'm going to do." Well, no. Resounding no. Jesus is not sad. Jesus is full of joy. Because he knows as soon as you wake up, he got your answer right there waiting on you. Amen. And the enemy will try to steal your joy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He can try it through people. He can try through circumstances and situations. He can try to make your life miserable. That's the reason I'm so glad I'm spirit-filled. I'm one of those tongue talkers. And glory to God, whenever he tried to make me sad, I just start blessing God, praising God. I praise him in English, which is my native language. I praise him in English, and then I praise him in other tongues. I just magnify the Lord. You know, my body may not feel like doing it or whatever. I do it anyway, because I know who's on the inside of me. The greater one lives on the inside of me, and he's greater than anything on the outside of me. And we got to understand that, and we got to pull on that, feed from that. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I make a decision: devil, you ain't stealing my joy. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and
the world can't take it away.
That's right. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. This joy that I have come from the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah. And not only does he provide love, joy, but how about peace?
Yeah.
Glory to God. I said glory to God. We're into the Christmas season now. Glory to God. And you know, the Word of God tells us that Jesus came to bring peace. He came to bring peace. He came to give us peace, peace in our life. Now, we already know there's not going to be any peace in the world. Somebody going to get on somebody's nerve. Somebody going to want what somebody else got. And I'm talking about countries as well as individuals, going to want what somebody else got. And so they're going to be fighting and fussing and carrying on. But there's an inner peace that nobody can take away from you.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
See, that's the reason the fruit of the Spirit is so important, and we need to be aware that it's there. Glory to God. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Let's go there real quick. And you probably know this by heart. If you don't, I want to encourage you to underline it in your Bibles. Verse Philippians chapter 4, I'll begin reading that verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord. Is that sometimes or what?
Always.
Huh? Always. Yes, always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, why you think he said it a second time? Because he knew human nature. Now, I hope you are not one of those. Say amen.
Amen.
Just trust what I'm about to say. But you know, I hope you're not one of those that sit here and listen at the word of God being preached. And soon as the service is over and you're heading out the door and somebody bump into you by mistake, and all of a sudden you get an attitude. Or maybe they're standing and fellowshipping with someone and you want to get by. They don't see you. And now you're getting heated. I wish to get out of the way. Now you're losing your joy. Now you're ready to get mad. If I wasn't in the church, I'd tell him a thing or two. But see, I hope you're not like that. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And if you are, this is a good time to repent right now. Amen. You don't even have to come to the altar. I'm not going to embarrass you. You can just repent right where you're seated. I've had to do it in my life over my years of being born again. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I was wrong. I was thinking wrong, Father. I shouldn't have said that. Lord, forgive me. Let me read on. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, he says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Look at verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7. And what? And what? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. How can it do that? Because it's coming from the inside of you. It's not coming from the world. They don't understand it. You got to know Jesus. You got to know his word. You got to know what he promised you. You got to know what he's given you. You got to know who you are in him. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and what else? Your minds through Christ Jesus. Guard your heart, because that's where the Holy Spirit is anyhow. And your mind. Let me ask you a question. All you got to do, show your hand. Have you ever been in a situation where you really could have been scared and fearful? But right on the inside, not out of your head, but right on the inside, in the midst of it, there was peace. Yeah. If anybody ever experienced that, raise your hand. Yeah. Hey, amen. Amen. Now, your head wanted to say, man, you in trouble. This is a dangerous situation. But right on the inside, right on the inside, you had peace. That peace that surpasses all understanding was rising up on the inside of you. And God was letting you know, I got this. I got this. I got this. And so instead of worrying and crying and fretting, you begin to praise. You begin to praise. You begin to worship. You begin to read your word and read the promises of God. Stand on what he said. Hallelujah. Y'all still with me? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Turn to Isaiah 26 chapter. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is very, very, I know sometimes people say, well, you know, fruit of the Spirit, yeah, love, joy, peace, that's, yeah, I got it. It's kind of dull. Preach on something else. Wait a minute. Sometimes the things that you think is the least important are the most important, because that's your foundation. Isaiah, did I tell you what chapter? 26, okay. Isaiah chapter 26. And I'll begin reading at verse 3. It says, you will keep him in what? Perfect peace. You will keep, you see that? You will keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on you because he what? Trust in you. Hallelujah. Keep him in perfect peace. That peace that comes from within. We can walk in that peace. We can live in that peace. But Pastor, you just don't know what I'm going through. Jesus does. And let me say this. Let me say this. Thank you, Lord. Listen to me. I'll be closing very, very shortly here. Listen to me. Some of you, and even watching those watching, are too timid. That's right. You're too, matter of fact, too timid is not proper. You're timid. Shouldn't be timid at all. Jesus didn't cast the legion of devils out of this man because he was timid or afraid. He cast them out because he stood and said, come out. Understand me, please understand me. I'm trying to close with this. The devil uses fear to control you. You hear me? Let me say that again. The devil uses fear to control you. Fear always has a source. And it will take you right back to the devil himself. We just read, don't be anxious. King James Version says careful. Don't be anxious for nothing. So now if you're not going to be anxious, what are you to do? You are to get right in the face of the devil, or get right into the face of the situation that you're dealing with, and you say, no, in the name of Jesus, you will not control my life any longer. Whatever that situation is you're dealing with, whatever has you fearful, whatever has you anxious, you speak to it in the name of Jesus and say, in Jesus' name, I command you to go. And if it comes back the next day knocking on the door, knock, knock. Who's there? Your problem. What did I tell you? Go! But listen to me, as long as you're anxious and wimpy, the devil's going to beat you over the head. And by the way, you have to understand, he has tools too. And he has special tools to use against certain people. Remember, some of you probably can really relate to this. When you was in school, just had some bully that's always bugging you, taking your lunch money. If you tell your parents, I'm gonna beat you up. But then you had one day you had enough. You think, well, this guy may beat my behind, but I'm diving in. I've had enough. Now, I'm not advocating fighting. Don't take what I'm saying out of context. I want you to see the spiritual side of it. We have to ask ourselves, how long am I going to take until I've had enough and I'll stand up in the devil's face and say, no more. No more. This is it. Because you have to understand, the greater one lives on the inside of you. And we have the freedom to make that decision to say no to the enemy. But sometimes we've been timid so long, we're so used to it, we're even comfortable there. It's easy for us to talk about how bad things are and what I'm dealing with and so forth, and we're comfortable there. Well, I believe the Spirit of the Lord is telling you right now to get up. Amen. And deal with the devil. Remember, the Word of God says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But we wrestle against demonic spirits. You hear me? Amen. Now, I'm not telling you to go punch somebody in the mouth. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you to deal with that spirit, the devil, in your prayer room, in your bedroom, in your bathroom, in wherever you may be. You deal with that spirit. Amen. The spirit behind whatever it is that's bothering you. Y'all still with me? You follow me? Because every problem you have, there's a spirit behind it. There's somebody motivating either the individual or the situation. Just deal with the spirit. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Remember, I use this example. Peter, y'all have heard of Peter. Great man of God, Peter was. But there was one occasion when he kind of got beside himself and he went overboard. And what did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. Notice Jesus didn't turn around and smack Peter. He didn't shove Peter. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, because he understood that there's a spirit behind what Peter was saying. And we got to learn to deal with the spirit behind some of these situations, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and so forth. That's what we have to deal with. Too many times we hate people rather than dealing with the spirit that's influencing them and then praying for them. Ask the question in my closing. When the last time you prayed for somebody you didn't particularly care for? I'm not looking for a response. I just want to provoke you to think. Let me ask the question again. When was the last time you prayed for someone you didn't particularly care for? When the last time you prayed for someone that absolutely got on your nerves? You deal with the spirit, and then you pray for them. This help you today.
Amen.
Well, I want you to lift your hands and lift your voices and give God praise for his word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. And we do thank you, Heavenly Father, that word will not return.